Well, long awaited, Siobhan Canty is back. She's back from her well-deserved break, and I hope it was everything that you expected and more. And Siobhan Canty, the president and CEO of the Jefferson Community Foundation, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Chris. I'm in the mood for some community love, so it's great to be back with you and with our great community. It's just so nice to have a role here that I'm happy to come back to, feeling well-rested and ready to do some more great work. So thank you for having me back.
Oh, you're welcome. And speaking of great work, what's cooking?
Well, I'd say the theme for this work is, for this week is really transition. There's so much happening on the COVID front. We can continue to see things calm down. The food bank's usage is going down. Last week, we saw 588 folks using the health food bank, and the week before that, it was 700. So you can see that things are going down. The food banks themselves are continuing to build their capacity to maintain a steady flow of food. This week, they were awarded $15,000 to increase their cold storage so that they can maintain a more steady flow of fresh vegetables for more weeks at a time. So that was a great advancement. And we also made grants to Jasira, the Jefferson County immigrant rights activist, and St. Vincent de Paul. And both of those folks continue to do great work out in the community, but are also seeing numbers go down. So this is all good as businesses reopen, folks become at least partially reemployed, and there's less dependence on services like this. We continue to believe that there are going to be ups and downs, but still overall, the trend is moving in the right direction.
And
so
I think,
we're really pleased. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, I think of one constant that I'd like to give a shout out to is the Jefferson County Immigrant Rights Advocates, because they've done some wonderful and consistent work, and they really haven't been in existence for that long either.
No, they're actually quite new, and they've funded over 312 applications for assistance. And these are folks who are restaurant workers, house cleaners, landscapers, construction workers, and many of them live on the west side of Jefferson County, and they just don't have the resources that we have over here on the east side. So really critical resource for a community of folks who keep our community moving forward.
So a big thank you to them. All right. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Not at all. I wanted to just say, too, there's an increased focus on reopening safely for both businesses and nonprofits. On the business side, the county, Jefferson County Chamber of Commerce and the Economic Development Council have worked together to launch Jeffco Cares, which is a pledge for the business and nonprofit community to just commit to our clients and our customers that we are going to maintain safe practices in our workplaces. And that pledge can be seen at the Chamber website and the EDC website. And then on Tuesday, June 16th at 11:30, the Community Foundation itself will be holding a knowledge exchange on safely reopening. We'll be including a registered nurse who has worked in emergency rooms for over 25 years, someone from the Department of Environmental Health, the director of the Environmental Health Department, and HR professionals to talk about how folks need to think specifically about their workplaces to reopen safely, not only for their employees, but for also, again, our customers. So that's great to see that moving in the right direction as well, and to see people coming together to share information and resources.
Yeah, Siobhan, I think that's really important because, you know, it's one thing to get directives and all the rest of that down the line, but or having that come from the governor's office or the county itself, depending on who's making decisions at any particular point in time. But there's always that confusion. It's good to have that support group. It's good to have that information consolidated or at least shared.
Absolutely. And we encourage everyone to maintain in the early stages the most conservative approach, and that is to wear masks, remain 6 feet away from each other, and just be careful as we move into this next phase. No one knows what's going to happen, and it's best that we all take care and move slowly as opposed to jumping right in and potentially seeing a spike in the virus. So we encourage that approach.
So what's happening? Well, what's happening with youth these days? What's happening with summer plans for kids and teenagers?
Well, we remain concerned about this. We, you know, in the meal programs provided by the schools end in 10 days, and then the following Monday, the YMCA is picking up all of the school meal programs for families who might need support through the summer. If you don't know how that transition is going to happen for you and you need that support, you can reach out to your local school district and they'll tell you how that will work. It'll work a little differently probably than the way it has been so far when directed directly by the schools. So just expect, get ready for that transition. There will be plenty of food, but for example, it might not be delivered every day. It might be 3 days of food are delivered a couple times a week. So just make sure to connect with your schools. In terms of childcare, the childcare that was being provided by up at the elementary school is going to be transitioned also over to the YMCA, and Cedar Root Elementary School is also going to continue to offer their camps. That's some new news this week. So for folks who need 4 to 6 hours of care and want a classroom environment for younger children, Cedar Root School is a great place to contact right now. Cedar Brook Child Care Center will continue to also to provide their child care through the summer. So we are seeing increased availability of child care slots. And as we move into phase three, more child care will become available. So that will help in the reopening process as well. We, just as a reminder, do not have the county-supported sports opportunities that young people typically have in the summer. So we encourage people to come up with additional plans, especially outdoor plans, and where young people can be distanced, where they can come together and recreate in a safe way. But we're really seeing not enough of that. So we'd like to hear more if anyone has a project or program that can offer those kinds of activities safely for children. We invite your proposal to the Jefferson County COVID Response and Recovery Fund. It is not just for immediate response. It's also for recovery. So you can go on to jcfgives.org to submit a proposal for the fund if you're looking for some support to get some youth activities going. We know that there's going to be a letter in the Leader coming up expressing our community's appreciation to all of the young people who have really given up a lot for this community to stay safe. Everything from their graduations to seeing their friends, it's been really hard, particularly on young people, and we want to acknowledge them and celebrate them and thank them for being willing to put their own personal needs aside for the well-being of our community over the last couple of months. And Jefferson Community Foundation and many other partners, as you'll see when it's printed in the Leader, are all pledging our support for young people in our community. We care about you. We trust you. And we're looking forward to finding new opportunities for you through the summer.
And I just want to say that, you know, our youth, especially our high school youth, have been so amazingly organized and creative and unabashedly, you know, just really unafraid to come forward with ideas and all the rest of it. And I just want to remind our listeners out there that Jefferson Community Foundation is not just an insular group that comes up with ideas within itself or its board. It comes up with ideas from input from the public and people just like you and me and all of those high school kids out there.
I thank you so much for saying that, Chris. You know, that is our operating mantra, is we don't build anything here that we're not asked by the community to build. And that is the way we are of value. We don't show up in our community with the answer. We show up asking our community, what do you want to achieve? What are our greatest obstacles and opportunities? And how can we help be an engine for the change that you want to see? So we're very open to hearing ideas and proposals and to being in partnership with so many folks all the way from Port Townsend down to Brennan and across to Maristone. We have partnerships growing and even on the West End, as I mentioned. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I mean, you know, with all of the changes, and boy, I mean, things are changing from day to day. And things that happen in historic, well, they become historical incidents that impact the entire world. And one of those, of course, was the tragedy that happened a short time ago with the, you know.
Interesting. I think you're referring to the death of George Floyd on May 25th and the subsequent. Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up. We would be remiss if we didn't. And, interestingly enough, I went on vacation on May 22nd, and Mr. Floyd was killed on May 25th. So just to see what can happen in such a short time. A couple of things I want to say about that. One is that Jefferson Community Foundation is unequivocally in support of Black lives. We believe that Black lives matter. And we are in the business of helping people affect social change. And I thought that maybe I could just say a few words about really the skill of change making, because so much passion is behind this desire to want to evolve our community. Our team here is in the process of deeply educating ourselves about the history of race in Jefferson County, everything from the expulsion of the indigenous communities to the Chinese Exclusion Act, the internment camps of local families in the 1940s, and current activities of white supremacists in our county. There's a lot to learn. We encourage everyone to learn it and to remember that the things that really change community, they begin with empathy. The skill begins with empathy. It begins with educating ourselves, really understanding who we are as a community, and being able to articulate the changes that we want to see in a way that's constructive and able to be worked on together. So then we apply strategy, we implement, learn, and adapt, and then we persist. So think as we all approach this opportunity to evolve ourselves, our organizations, our community and our country and our world, I just encourage people, the Community Foundation encourages people to think about the skills we bring as change makers, the practices that we bring, the strengths that we bring. And there many studies have shown that the most effective way of changing communities and the most effective way you change people's minds is by knowing someone who represents the thing that you want to see changed. So don't move away from each other. Let's come together. Let's bring our empathy, bring our education, try to work together, try to create spaces where we can actually build something sustainable and different than the systems that were put in place that were never really sustainable and now need to be revisited and rebuilt. We are able for it. This is a county of change makers.
So well said. Siobhan Canty, welcome back, and thank you from the bottom of KPTZ's hearts and our listeners' hearts, and President and CEO of the Jefferson Community Foundation. We'll talk next week.
Thank you, Chris, and thanks to KPTZ for always being a great community partner.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.